Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of The Boomer Beat. I'm your host, Beverly Mahone. The music you hear in the background, the Mighty OJs. And today it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show one of the founding members, Walter Williams Sr. And we'll be talking to Walter in just a few moments. So stay tuned.
Yeah!
Used to be my girl, lead vocal on that song, which was a hit in 1978, was, of course, Walter Williams Sr., one of the founding member of the OJs. And that song, by the way, is dedicated to Andrea Bigelow, who said that was one of her favorite songs by the OJs. And the song before that, I Love Music, dedicated to Kathy Cherry, who says that is definitely her all-time favorite song. You are listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone, and I am waiting patiently for Walter to call in. I've spoken with his publicist, and he says he's, you know, trying to make the connection, and so hopefully he will be calling in shortly. But in the meantime, I wanted to let you know that I actually have a personal connection to Walter. Actually, we went to the same high school, not at the same time, but we went to the same high school in Canton, Ohio, McKinley High School. Go Bulldogs! As a matter of fact, I went to school with his younger brothers, and his name was Marvin. Walter doesn't know this, but I had a little crush on Marvin, and I spent a lot of time at their house when I was in high school. So we'll be talking about that when he finally calls in. And in the meantime, we're just going to keep the music going because, you know what? They had so many hits. And even those songs that didn't get top 40 airplay, I mean, everybody was still partying to them, you know, in their homes. But of course, this is one of those songs where everybody knew, and it was definitely one of the top 10. You remember this? Money, money, money. I'll leave it to the OJs to sing. We'll be back in just a moment.
People will ride their own ride. Oh, baby,
here we go.
That Stairway to Heaven by the OJs. And even though it wasn't classified and wasn't actually put out there to be a hit by the radio makers, it still was a hit within the African American community. It was one of several songs on the Family Reunion album, I believe, catapulted that particular album to its platinum success. You are listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone, and I am still waiting for Walter Williams Sr., who is one of the founding members of the OJs, to call in. His publicist did tell me about 5 or 10 minutes ago that he was still trying to reach him, so we are just going to sit back and keep enjoying the music, and I'm going to share some little tidbits with you as well. Now, what you may or may not have known is the OJs weren't always known as the OJs. They were originally known as the Triumphs, and then they went on to become the Mascots. And then they decided to change their name in honor of one of the big disc jockeys at the time in Cleveland, Ohio, named Eddie OJ. And those of us who are from Ohio and listen to the stations in Cleveland, we know Eddie OJ as children. And he ended up passing away, and so they took on the name the OJs. The OJs had tremendous success, so much success. They were on Soul Train like several times. And as a matter of fact, their song Love Train was like kind of copied after the Soul Train. So right now we are going to listen to Soul Train by the OJs.
Tell all the folks to run. me just sit down and relax a minute. Let me tell you about it. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. And I just got paid. Going across town. Gonna pick up my lady. Have a little bit of fun. Just ain't no telling where I might end up. You might see me on the east side. The west side. I'm even going across the bridge, y'all. Cause I hear they really get down over there. Oh, to myself. Doing.
Come on, y'all, let's go downtown. Come on, y'all, let's groove. Hey, hey, hey.
All right, that was Living for the Weekend. That was another one of those off hits from the Family Reunion album by the OJs. And that became a theme song for everybody who worked in corporate America because, you know, by the time Friday got here, you were definitely living for the weekend. I remember my parents playing that song on Friday. They didn't play it any other day of the week. On Fridays, they broke out the 45. Remember those 45s? I haven't seen one of those in, like, ages, but that was Living for the Weekend. And that song was dedicated to Mitch Mitchell, my good friend in Syracuse, New York, who said that that was one of his favorite songs, and he actually liked the long version. So, Mitch, I gave you the long version. So we are going to take a quick break. We are still waiting to hear something from either the publicist or from Walt himself, who was scheduled to be a guest today. It's only 12:30, so, you know, even if he calls in at 5 till 1 and talks for 5 minutes, I guess that'll be good enough as well. You are listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM. We'll be back in just a moment.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems. And more.
Then she remembered something. Me! My mom worked hard to be in recovery, and now she is here for me. Hi, Mom!
You ready? Let's go!
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone, and this is a tribute to the OJs this hour. Walter Williams Sr. was supposed to be calling in, and he has not called yet. So we don't know if he's okay or not. We're not going to speculate. But in the meantime, we're just going to keep the music going. Because you know what? There's enough OJ's music to fill up an hour, for real. They had that kind of music. And you know, they're still going strong some 50 years later. Because as I said in the beginning of the show, they formed a group back in the 60s. Eddie and Walter both went to McKinley High School, the same high school that I also went to some years later. And they formed the group originally known as the Triumphs. Now, their first kind of semi-hit was in 1963 when Walter was 21 years old, and it was called Lonely Drifter. Now, their first big hit was Backstabbers. We all know that song back in 1972. And as a matter of fact, that went on to become a million seller. Backstabbers, smiling in your face all the time. They want to take your place. And then they went on to create such great hits as Love Train, Used to Be My Girl, Money, you know, all of those wonderful hits. In 2003, they teamed up with Beyonce and Cuba Gooding Jr. to act in a movie called The Fighting Temptations. How many of you actually remember that? I do. I went to see the movie at the theater. They played barbers in that movie, and they ended up recording this next song that I'm going to play, probably my second favorite song by the OJs. This one was soloed by Walt Williams along with Beyonce and some other folks. So see if you remember this song. Didn't get a lot of airplay, but it was a great, great song. He Still Loves Me.
Finally here, so I just wanna testify, make it crystal clear.
Take
see,
time.
I've been picked out to be picked on,
no, no.
Talked about out my friend mouth. I've been beat down,
yeah,
till you turn my life around.
Turn my life around.
Seems like I always
to wake up some days and wish I stayed asleep.
Why can't you get
I went to bed on top of the world. Today the world's on top of me. Now everybody's got opinions.
They share.
They ain't been in my position. That it breaks my heart when I hear what they have to say about me.
What they say about you.
I'm not always fall short.
Sure.
Isn't it amazing how they can put all of those talented voices together and create such an awesome song? In addition to Walt Williams, Beyonce, Melba Moore, I mean, Eddie Levert, they just put them all together, and that's what they created. The song didn't get a lot of crossover appeal, but there were a number of Christian-based radio stations who did play the song from the movie The Fighting Temptations back in 2003. In 2005, the OJs were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And do you know where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is? Yeah, it's in Ohio, in Cleveland, Ohio. And I might point out that so many people have been under the impression that the OJs were from Cleveland because that is where they really catapulted themselves to a new level. But Walt and Eddie will be the first to tell you, no, they were born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and they went to McKinley High School, the same high school that I attended. And it's interesting because we all sort of lived in the same area of town. I mean, you know, there are pockets where, you know, certain people live, and we lived in that particular area. So it was nothing to walk over to their house, any day of the week and just hang out. As I recall, and of course I'm having to really dig deep down in my memory, but as I recall, his mother was very, very nice, always very, very nice, and always welcomed me to the house as if like I was one of her children. But that was a different day and time, and that seems to be the way people were back then. You are listening to the Boomer Beat here on WCOM with your host, Beverly Mahone. And this was an hour where we were supposed to be interviewing Walt Williams Sr., one of the founding members of the OJs, but he has not called in. And we are not exactly sure what has happened, but we're going to keep going on with the show. One of the things that you may or may not be aware of also is the fact that in the 80s, Walt was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So with that being said, he ended up having to live with that for a number of years. We have a phone call, so I'm just going to see if, in fact, this is Walter on the line.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you saying, can you hear me?
Well, you know, this is live radio, so unfortunately. Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Well, we've got about like 19 minutes here. I've kind of been giving your whole history. I want to, first of all, welcome you to the show. I just played He Still Loves Me from the movie The Fighting Temptations.
I love
that song. That's like a testimonial song for me. Because I'm not worthy. He still loves me. But anyway, welcome to the show, Walter.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I was telling the story in the beginning of the hour about the fact that you and I went to the same high school, although we didn't go at the same time. And the other thing is that something you may not have known, but I had a slight crush on your younger brother, Marvin, back in the day.
He's a rascal. He gets around.
Yeah, he was quite a nice young man to me back in the day. So, okay, so let's, in the time that we have left here, I kind of talked about you all in the early days. How did you and Eddie actually connect?
I met Eddie when I was probably 6 or 7 years old. He moved into the neighborhood. I had probably been there a year or so. I was born in Canton, Ohio. My mom died when I was 9 months old, so her family lived in Greenwood, South Carolina. So they took me to live with her sisters, my aunt. And I stayed there until my dad remarried. He remarried and moved back to Canton. He worked at Timken Roller Bearing at the time. And we moved into a neighborhood on the northeast end side of town, over on 11th Street, northeast. And Eddie moved into the neighborhood probably in the second grade. And he was like right down the street from me, and he was probably the only kid around my age that I could play with that my parents would allow me to play with at the time. So we hit it off, and we became good friends. I didn't sing at the time. He always was singing, walking down the street, wherever. I played baseball. I liked baseball, but in Canton at the Memorial Auditorium, which is the Civic Center now, they would have each year a show that they would bring to town called The Shower of Stars. During one of those shows, that when we became old enough to go without parents attending, I think we were probably teenagers, one of the Shower of Stars consisted of Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Coasters, Lloyd Price, Ruth Brown, and we had a great time. And when Little Anthony and the Imperials hit the stage, the girls went nuts. And from that inspired us to want to be singers and dancers.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now, according to what I read in Wikipedia, and, you know, you take what you believe and then some of it's not totally true, you were originally known as the Triumphs. Is that correct?
That was one of our first names, yes.
Okay, and then you became the Mascots.
Yes, Sid Nathan at King Records gave us that name.
I know the story about how you adopted the name the OJs from the late Eddie OJ, so I'm aware of that. Did you know, you know, in the 60s that you would become as big a success as you are today? And number two, did you dream this big? You know, because some people say, oh, you know, well, I always knew I was going to be a journalist. I always knew that. But did you know that you would become the success that you are today?
Absolutely not. I mean, we worked hard. We wanted to be a huge success, but as you know, it's very competitive, and it's a vicious and cruel business. I mean, trust is nowhere to be found in this business, so we went through a lot, we learned a lot, and there's actually five or six phases of OJs in this business for us. For instance, we started off with an entirely different group when it was the Triumphs. Then that group changed and became Billy Isles, William Powell, Bobby Massey, Eddie LaVert, Walter Williams, and then William Powell quit while we were living in Los Angeles. We moved when I was probably 17 to Los Angeles from Canton, Ohio. William Powell quit, went back home to Canton. We continued to try to make it in L.A. We got Morris Chestnut Sr. to take William Powell's place. I got sick, went into the hospital for probably 6 months, and because I wasn't old enough, they made me a ward of the state. They were trying to ship me back to Canton, and I had a choice, so I stayed in L.A. And William Powell heard Lonely Drifter on the air, and the success of it made him want to come back. And we did a little vote and voted him back in. And then a couple of years after that, from the success of Lipstick Traces, went on the road, Billy Isles quit. He fell in love, didn't want to leave his to-be wife, so he quit and went back to L.A. while we were in North Carolina working. He said he would be back in a week or so. He had to go straighten out some business. Never came back. So that left four OJs. And after recording in Philadelphia for a couple of years, Bobby Massey quit. We did not replace him. It left the nucleus of the group anyway, which was William Powell, Eddie LaVert, and myself. We were the three lead singers. We could basically sing and do anything. So we kept it that way. We became successful with some hits like Backstabbers and Love Train. And this was after a horrible change that Philly International went through because their distribution deal was through Leonard Chess at Chess Records in Chicago. He passed, threw everything out of whack, but they got it back together. It took them a year or so. They got a new deal with CBS. That's when the Backstabbers and the Love Train came, and that was really huge for us. William Powell got sick and died. We had to replace him. That was hard, but we lucked out. Smokey Robinson of the Miracles suggested Sammy Strain. We went through a lot of people looking at them and trying to see who could fit the bill. Well, Charlie Atkins, who has passed now probably 7 or 8 years ago, he helped us. He was our choreographer. He helped us by seeing who had the best dance moves vocally, who was the strongest. Sammy passed the bill with flying colors. He was an original Lil Anthony and the Imperials. So it worked out fine. Sammy stayed with us probably 17 years. Dick Clark had a reunion for Lil Anthony and the Imperials. They all got back together. They wanted to stay together, so they did. We offered Sammy the job to do both. He didn't think he could do it. So we hired Nate Best. Nate Best stayed with us probably 2 years. His dad was a minister in, I think, Tennessee. His dad passed. He took over his dad's church. Left us out there again. So we hired Eric Nolan Grant, who was a good friend of Gerald Levert. And he thought he could handle it. So he was put through the test by Charlie Atkins. Vocally, he was strong enough. Mentally, he was strong enough to deal with the old man and his choreography. So he became an OJ. Now he has been with us probably 17, 18 years. So that makes the probably six phases of OJs.
I wasn't aware of all of the changes. I only remember William Powell and the latest person. I don't even know of the rest of that story. But that's very interesting. Let me ask you, Walter, why do you think that the OJs have been able to sustain, you know, the kind of success that you have over all of these years? Because we're talking like about 50 years here, and your music is as fresh and alive as if you just recorded it. So why is it you think that is?
Well, we're actually talking 54 years. Why I think that is the mainstays throughout all of these transitions has been Walter Williams, Eddie Levert, the two main lead singers. Eddie has the personality of just loving everybody, and everybody loves him. I tell him all the time, you look for love in all the wrong places, but that's his personality. I'm a little more laid back, but the sound of the OJs didn't change because it's the same lead singers. We've had to reinvent ourselves on stage, and what I think has helped us to stay in the game is our live show. What the old man taught us was a hit record is fantastic. You can actually work on a hit record probably 3 to 5 years, but what will sustain you in the business is to have a hit act. And he stressed that. He worked us 8 hours a day every year for 8 months, and well, what I really meant to say was 8 weeks out of that year, and he taught us great stage presence, and he would tell us, when you do a show, no matter who's on the show, make sure that when the people leave the show, they're talking about you, and that'll keep you in the business, that so that you don't become nostalgic, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's where it takes you. But stay on top of your game always. Connect with the people. They come to shows to see you, to see what you do, and to forget what their stress in life is.
That's interesting, because my husband and I saw you in concert when you were here in Durham, North Carolina at the Performing Arts Center, and as soon as we got in the car, that's all we talked about. Can you believe how good they were? Oh, my God. I mean, we were so impressed. And, I mean, I was thinking, you know, yeah. And it had been like 30 years since I had seen you all perform before. And it's just like you never skipped a beat.
Well, thank you so much. But that's the whole purpose, is to really entertain people, to really look your best on stage. And it is show business, and all of it matters, all of it counts. And that's what we have adopted from what our experiences have been and what Charlie Atkins taught us. There are three ingredients that we think help sustain the OJs, and that is the hits that we were so blessed to have received, and that would be the production and writing of Gamble and Huff out of Philadelphia at Philadelphia International Records. Charlie Atkins making sure that we were all that we could be on stage. Eddie Levert and Walter Williams for the consistent lead vocals and doing our very best in the studio. You got to get it on wax. You got to get it in the grooves, and we've been blessed enough to make that happen.
Yes, you have. We only have just a few minutes left here, but, you know, on the last couple of weeks, we've lost some icons. Whitney Houston just passed away, Don Cornelius, and I know you guys were on Soul Train, like, a lot of times. So what are your thoughts about the passing of both of them?
Don Cornelius was a really, really good friend, and had a lot of foresight. Without him and Soul Train, a lot of us would have never gotten national exposure, national TV. That was a privilege. And he made that happen for a lot of acts, and certainly for the OJs. He was a good friend. We loved him dearly and was very saddened to hear that he's no longer with us. Whitney, we knew her. Last time I saw her was at a show in Atlanta. I believe it was Chastain Park. And she and Bobby hung out with us in the dressing room, laughing and joking, and incredible talent. For me personally, the good outweighs the bad with her. I didn't know the bad. I heard about it, but it was not an issue with me. The good just overwhelms the bad, and the good is God-given, so there is no way the bad could compete with it anyway. So very saddened by her loss. Prayers go out to the family to be strong, and God will help them get through it.
All right, well, in the 2 minutes that we have left, what is your favorite all-time favorite O.J. song?
For me, I would have to say Love Train. Love Train is the biggest hit that we've had to date. It still lives. It still lives in the show. And the message is great. There is no better message. People all over the world join hands. Join the Love Train.
All of your records seem to have a message to give the people what they want, and the message in our music, all of it was just fantastic. Walter, I do want to thank you so much for taking the time out of what is a busy schedule to join me today here on the Boomer Beat. And I know you're going to be in Charlotte this next weekend, right?
Yes,
you're going to be at the CIAA. Part of the festivities there. And folks, let me just tell you, if you have not seen the OJs in concert, it would definitely be in your best interest to get on the road, take a trip to Charlotte, and see them, because they are absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to it. It's a big event, and we want to go and do what we do.
Well, thank you again. And if you see Marvin anytime soon or you talk to him on the phone, tell him that Beverly said hi.
I certainly will. I talk to him at least once or twice a week. And he's still in Canton. He's doing good. But okay. I will certainly tell him you said hello.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right. There you have it. That was Eddie. That was not Eddie. That was actually Walter Williams Sr., one of the founding members of the OJs. Time is wrapping up here, but I do want to thank you so much for tuning in. Have an awesome day.
Hello.